Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, good evening, good evening. What's up? This is Monday, November 23, 2020. It is the Monday before Thanksgiving. This is probably going to be maybe the next to the last show for 2020. Actually, this show is like, I think, the third year that I've done it on the truth about Thanksgiving, which I'm going to get to in just a second. I thought about maybe doing a year-end show, but it's not going to do a lot of good doing that because the only two things that will be that we'll be talking about will be the orange shit giving and the Rona. That's basically all to talk about as far as 2020 goes. So that would be kind of pointless. So I haven't decided what to do. Maybe I'll throw some, I don't know, an hour's worth of Christmas songs if you're into that. I don't know. I'll think about it. We'll see what happens. So for the next 50 some minutes, we'll talk about the truth about Thanksgiving. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the third year that I've done this show on Thanksgiving. The problem that I have with Thanksgiving, and I found out the truth doing research. And this is what happens when you have a show like this, when you have to talk about and you have to look into them, you have to research them, you have to do all that kind of stuff. Because what I want, the one thing I don't like doing on this show is talking about stuff and giving facts that aren't true, i.e. pulling a Trump. Once you get on here and you start lying about, and I don't have time for that. And also the thing is with Thanksgiving that the basic premise of the holiday is okay, but the truth behind it is a lie. And schools have been talking about spreading the lie for years. I haven't seen a recent school book, so I don't know how they talk about it today, but unfortunately, Thanksgiving is a big fat lie. And if you don't know, I'm going to give you the facts. And then what you need to do is, when you got time, research them yourself, because that's the only way you're going to get the truth. And this year, because of the Rona, they don't want people having big Thanksgiving dinners and all that kind of stuff. And you can forget about that, because we've got so many people in this country that just don't, that think that you can't tell them what to do, that they're going to do the opposite. So when you tell these people that, you know, might not be a good idea to have a big family dinner, you know, people are going to do the opposite, and they're going to do what they want to do anyway. So you already know that. So that's without saying. They're going to do it anyway, because this is America, and you can't tell Americans what to do. Even though there are experts, there are scientists, there are doctors, they give advice. They tell you that it might not be a good idea to do one thing, but nah, people that live in this country, either they're, I don't know, stupid, either they're stupid, or they just don't give a damn, or I don't know. So now you've got doctors and scientists and everybody saying, you know, might not be a good idea to have big dinners. Somebody's going to have a big dinner with a whole bunch of people. Somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's possibility somebody's going to die. But hey, this is America. You can't tell these Americans what to do. They're going to do what they want to do. That's why I got a feeling, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, but I got a feeling that the only way to get rid of this mess is to shut the country down and get a vaccine. But we'll see. But that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about tonight. Tonight we're talking about Thanksgiving, which is allegedly a holiday for giving thanks for what you got. You know, if you got a job, if you got a place to live, if you got family, if you got money, I mean, if you, you know, it's to give thanks for what you have. And then a lot of people try to make it out to be a religious holiday. Some people might say that it is. I don't know. It's possible. It could be. And also the next holiday we have after this holiday is a religious holiday, and it's, to me, my personal opinion is, you know, from the information I gathered doing this show for next year will be 6 years. I guess you could say it's a phony holiday like Thanksgiving, but that's time for, we can talk about that some other time. But Thanksgiving isn't the holiday that it was cracked up to be, that it was taught to be. It is something totally different. And they teach this in school. Kids believe it. And you grow up to be an adult, and then you know, because a lot of people don't like to be told, some people don't like to be told the truth. And also some people don't like to be, you know, if they're taught one thing, they like to stick with that one thing, and anything else that's different than what they've been told, they got issues with. So tonight we're going to talk about the truth behind Thanksgiving. Now, before the show that I've done on this, a couple hours, I'm not going to take that long tonight. Because you can always go back in the archives and find the old shows about Thanksgiving. And plus tonight, what information I give you, if you want to look it up yourself, feel free to do so. I always tell, you know, people listen to the show, hey, do your own research. Do your research. Don't just sit to your, just don't, you know, just don't sit and just take anything and just believe anything you hear without doing your own research. Because I think it's you know, it's something that you should do. It's something that people should do, is to look up this stuff. You just don't believe anything you hear. Because that's not cool. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So don't do it. So we're going to get, I've got four clips, and we're going to play them. I'm going to play the first one in just a second. And oh yeah, and I do try to, you know, when the show comes on, I do try to pick songs that have something to do with the topic. Well, tonight I had to go to Christmas song because there are no Thanksgiving songs that I know of. But that's no big deal. I just don't want people cutting on the show and hearing the Christmas. Hey, this show's like Christmas. No, not yet. Almost, but not quite. So the first clip, not a very long clip, but it just sets the stage for the other clip that we're talking about in just a second. So we're going to play this, and I'll be right back.
The first Thanksgiving. American schools generally teach a conventional story about the meeting of pilgrims and Indians that finished with an amazing dinner. The end. But there's more to the tale. This video will explain the events around the first Thanksgiving and how it's not the image ingrained in tradition. At the start of the 17th century, southern New England was home to a variety of busy communities within several confederations. These were the people of the First Light, and they called their home the Dawnland. Political leaders were known as sachems and had been trading with Europeans for over 100 years before the Pilgrims. Relations soured only after deceitful Europeans kidnapped locals to sell as slaves. Permanent European settlement was impossible due to the already high population of native occupants, but in 1616, tradesmen introduced a disease to the Dawnland, whose inhabitants died in droves from a lack of immunity. In 3 years, up to 90% were wiped out in several confederations, including the Wampanoag. Their head sachem, Massasoit, was aware of how close they were to being subjugated by their unafflicted enemies, the Narragansett. He was determined to save his people from such a fate. This was the political world the Pilgrims were about to enter. The Pilgrims were not called Pilgrims by their contemporaries. They were known as Separatists, a branch of the English Puritans. King James hated Puritans and began persecuting them in 1604, so the Separatists fled to Holland, where they were free to worship. But because they feared losing their national and communal identity, the congregation wanted a new place to plant their church. They decided on America and asked King James for a patent that would grant them rights to build a colony. They planned to make a profit catching fish to pay off the debts to their investors. The Mayflower set sail on September 6th. 2 months later, Cape Cod was spotted and 16 men were sent ashore to inspect the area. Unfortunately, the settlers didn't know how to fish and food was running out. They resorted to stealing from graves, homes, and storage pits to keep everyone alive. Then came their first hostile encounter with natives, but no one was killed. On December 12th, they reached New Plymouth. They did not land on any specific rock, but folklore insists they did. Construction began in January. By winter's end, 44 settlers would be dead from bad conditions. In March, they were surprised when a man named Somerset walked into New Plymouth, greeting them in English. He told them they were building on top of a village called Patuxet, whose residents had all died from the recent epidemic. It belonged to the Wampanoag, and their chief, Massasoit, was watching them. The settlers were eager to trade, so 5 days later, Somerset returned with furs and companions, including Tisquantum. Known famously as Squanto, he had come to tell them in perfect English that Massasoit had arrived. After years of dealing with Englishmen, the sachem did not trust the newcomers. Edward Winslow was sent to be a hostage and declared the settlers' peaceful intentions. Satisfied, Massasoit walked into New Plymouth and was regally greeted by the governor. A peace treaty was created, ensuring mutual protection if attacked by enemies. With the help of Squanto, New Plymouth settlers began to fare better. He taught them how to grow crops and was absolutely vital as an interpreter. To the Separatists, he was a gift from God. But in fact, Squanto had been kidnapped from Patuxet in 1614 and shipped to Spain to be sold into slavery. He ended up in London at the home of a merchant who taught him English and arranged for Squanto's return to the Dawnland in 1619. But Patuxet was now gone, wiped away by the epidemic. Massasoit took him in with suspicion because of his years abroad, but needed a translator to parley with the newcomers. He eventually sent his warrior Hobomok to live among the settlers and keep an eye on Squanto. By fall, the settlers had a bountiful harvest and a feast was held to celebrate. Massasoit showed up with 90 warriors and 5 deer for the meal. For 3 days, the English and Wampanoag ate and entertained one another. This was the famous first Thanksgiving children learn about in school. However, the word Thanksgiving would not have been used by these settlers to denote a harvest feast. For Puritans, a day of Thanksgiving was a day of fasting while giving thanks to God in prayer. But the story of Pilgrims and Indians does not end here. During New Plymouth's first year, Squanto had been up to something. Realizing his substantial power as the only English speaker of his people, he conceived a plan to overthrow Massasoit. He persuaded locals he could command the English to make war or peace at his will. Hobomok was suspicious of Squanto and warned Governor Bradford. Soon enough, they discovered Squanto's plot and informed Massasoit, who was furious. He demanded Squanto be handed over for a swift execution. Bradford refused. The interpreter was too valuable to give up. But according to the treaty, Squanto's life belonged in the hands of his sachem. Bradford finally conceded. He was about to hand over Squanto when an unidentified ship appeared. The alarm it caused delayed Bradford and worried Massasoit's envoys. Angered and impatient, they left. The ship carried 60 Englishmen planning to build a colony near Boston. They abused the Massachusetts locals, initiating a conspiracy to kill the colonists. Warned about the plot, New Plymouth's leaders launched a preemptive strike to save their impudent countrymen. it bought peace for a time. In that time, more Puritan settlers arrived, soon outnumbering the natives. And while the Pilgrims' Treaty with Massasoit lasted until the Sachem's death, other Puritans were not concerned with such alliances. Their fanatic religious principles ensured no peace between the two cultures could last. To Puritans, Native Americans were the other, wild, savage, godless. With such an ideology, the outcome was inevitable. If they did not convert to Christianity and surrender their cultural identity, they had to be eliminated. The first Thanksgiving was a brief moment of harmony between two worlds, but sadly it was short-lived. The capitalist opportunities the Dawnland presented, combined with zealous puritanical beliefs, were incentive enough to wipe away the native inhabitants. There is nothing wrong with sharing a feast of thanks with loved ones, but remember the true events that started the holiday, and not the fairy tale.
Now, I've got three more clips to play, but I want to say on this one, remember what the guy said in it. The natives were, you know, killed because, you know, and this is why I have a problem with religion, you know. To a lot of those people, you know, if you don't convert, we're going to kill you. And also, I have a problem when, you know, people say, you know, that, you know, pilgrims discovered, you know, America, you know, and they say that Christopher Columbus discovered America and all this kind of stuff. You cannot discover something that's already been discovered. People were living here before the Europeans got here. So if there's somebody already living here, how are you going to discover it? I mean, that's like going to somebody's house and saying, you know, this is my house. I discovered this house and there's already people living there. You know, it's kind of hard to say you discovered something and there's already people in that land. But, you know, we've been doing this for centuries because that's America. Can you move my hand right here? Oh, okay. All right. Here's another the holiday that you probably knew or didn't know, but you know, you're gonna play it anyway. Here we go.
Fact First presents the disturbing truth about Thanksgiving that you never learned in history class. Most people love Thanksgiving. It's a time for families to get together and celebrate the holiday together. Most people will cook a turkey, sweet potatoes, green beans, plenty of delicious pies, especially that pumpkin pie. Good stuff. Well, the reason that we're told that we celebrate Thanksgiving is that we are commemorating the meal between the Pilgrims and the Native Americans. Well, over the years, the holiday has gone from a celebration of this union to a celebration of watching football with the family and having fun. Every kid in school learns about the first Thanksgiving in class. We've been taught that in 1621, the first Thanksgiving took place. The Pilgrim Fathers gathered together to celebrate the first harvest in the newly settled land of Plymouth Country, which is now known as Massachusetts. The settlers decided to invite the Native Americans to the celebration to thank them for their help. They also wanted to make the Native Americans feel welcome. On the first Thanksgiving, they sat down for turkey, sweet potatoes, and pie. It sounds like a delightful story, right? But unfortunately, it's not all true. There are some disturbing truths about Thanksgiving that you probably did not learn in class. Squanto is a famous disquantum, and he had a lot to do with that first Thanksgiving. In school, we were taught that this Native American spoke English, which helped him to communicate with the English newcomers and translate to his fellow Native Americans. While that part of the story is true, it's not the whole story. Squanto did not spend his entire life in Plymouth Colony with his friends and family members. He also did not translate during the first Thanksgiving feast out of kindness of his heart. The reason Squanto was the only Native American who spoke English was that he had been enslaved and forced into servitude in England. When the English headed to his native land in 1619, they brought him along. They figured that he could help them speak to the people in his native tongue. Now, if you thought that Squanto was just a highly intelligent Native American man who helped open the lines of communication between the Milgrims and the other Native Americans, you were taught wrong. The story of the first Thanksgiving says that it was all peace and happiness during the first Thanksgiving feast. That's also not accurate. The Pilgrims didn't send out a happy invitation to the Native Americans asking them to join them for a meal. Massasoit, the Native American chief of the Wampanoag people, he was invited to the first Thanksgiving. He arrived at the feast with 90 of his men. Because the Native Americans were armed warriors, the Pilgrims decided that they had to do something as a show of force. So they fired their guns in the air to let the Native Americans know that they could fight if necessary. Not exactly the happy start to a dinner that we were taught in elementary school. Putting up a sign of force before dinner doesn't make for the most relaxing of meals. Now, our Thanksgiving menu today is said to be based on what the Pilgrims had and the Native Americans ate on that first Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, that part of the story is not true either. While there were wild turkeys in the area, they were not served during that meal. The Wampanoag people showed up with 5 deer to be cooked. So that means that we shouldn't be eating roasted turkey on Thanksgiving, not if we want it to be a legitimate, authentic Thanksgiving meal. We should be eating venison. Also, sweet potatoes were not grown in the region at that time, so they couldn't have been served during the first meal either. And the settlers did not have flour or butter when they arrived in Plymouth Colony, so no dinner rolls. Without sugar or butter, we also couldn't have had those baked pies that were said to have been served at the first Thanksgiving dinner. No pumpkin pie? I mean, that's just not Thanksgiving anymore, is it? In school, we learned that the first Thanksgiving took place in 1621 so that the Pilgrims could thank the Native Americans for their hospitality and kindness. And it is a beautiful story, but it's not a true story. Many historians believe the first Thanksgiving took place many years later. And they also think the reason for the first meal was to mark the settlers' victory over the Pequot Native Americans. Now, if that's the case, the whole point of the meal was not to give thanks to one another. It was not about peace and harmony. It was about victory over the Native Americans. Today, we celebrate Thanksgiving on the third Thursday in November. That's not the actual day the first Thanksgiving took place. Thanksgiving wasn't even an official holiday until 1863, 200-plus years later, when Abraham Lincoln declared the first official Thanksgiving Day. It's believed that he chose this day to celebrate the Unionist Civil War victories. So how does that have anything to do with the first meal shared by the Native Americans and the Pilgrims supposedly in 1621? Well, unfortunately, nobody really knows the truth of that first Thanksgiving. The one thing we do know is that the history books got it wrong. When the Native Americans and the Pilgrims got together, it wasn't all sunshine and roses. So what are we celebrating then? Well, over the years, the holiday has become all about commercialism. Not quite to the level of Halloween or Christmas, but still. I mean, why else would the stores open their doors on Thanksgiving night to kick off Black Friday shopping? Am I right? Subscribe for more.
Okay. More truce. And a lot of the stores now, they don't do the open up on Thanksgiving Day for Black Friday, different. So that's changed a little bit, but Thanksgiving is commercialized. Christmas is really commercialized. Now I went to Walmart the other day, and there, you know, people are starting to buy stuff, and, you know, it's the usual, it's not going to end. It's not going to change. It's going to, you know, we're going to keep doing what we always do. But I think it's important that if you don't know the real deal about it, then, you know, you should. That's why I'm doing tonight's show. I believe this is the third year in a row doing the show. So I've got a couple more clips to play. And let me see, this one is da 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 da. Oh. And this one is about something, you know, usually when you think of Thanksgiving, you think of family and friends and dinner and food and that. But nobody talks about the genocide of millions of Native Americans. That's the part that we tend to forget when we talk about Thanksgiving. But we're going to talk about it tonight. So this clip talks about genocide of Native Americans, which is really...
You know, one of the stories you talked about was of the Native American being over 10 million at one point, now to less than a million. When the European invader came here in the late 1490s, there were 112 million of us in this Republic of the United States. It's not a country, it's a republic. And in less than 500 years, through genocidal practices, through the introduction of diseases that we had no immunity to, and other evil things that he put, arrogance and greed, our numbers went from 112 million to less than a million by 1930. How do you kill off 111 million great people, loving people, people that are willing to share whatever they have, regardless of how small it is or how much they got? How do you do that?
That's a genocide you don't hear in the history books.
Absolutely. And another form of genocide that they practiced on us was paper genocide. There was a Dr. Arthur Flecker in Virginia, a cold-blooded racist, through taking a baby, an Indian baby, and instead of putting Indian or tribal name on that birth certificate, he would put mulatto or other. So many people walking around, even today as we speak, 2017, don't know who they are, because at birth, their identity was destroyed through Dr. Arthur Flecker, the father of eugenics, who became the director of vital statistics during this time for the state of Virginia.
Now, another thing that they teach in the history book was the whole Thanksgiving, the meeting. But, you know, we talked about that, and I wanted people to know the truth about that. It was actually... Yeah, if you want to talk about how Thanksgiving came about.
I do want to talk about it. First of all, you got to remember, my dear brother, that history, his story, is not our story. When they proclaimed Thanksgiving, it was in Mystic, Connecticut. A tribe of Indian people, the Pequots, that were thriving and surviving. But shortly after, we taught these white people how to farm and how to take care of the land and raise food, they got beside themselves. A few years after they started prospering, they decided that they were going to take their women and their children out too. A big field and have a cookout celebration. No Indians brought deer. There was never a Thanksgiving dinner with them, according to what they say. Not true. The celebration of Thanksgiving was the men walked off from their families and went further north into Mystic, Connecticut, and he murdered these Pequot Indian children, elders, women, and men. Got them in the enclosure of their habitat. They had built forts, per se, but that was only for the protection of their people. And they trapped them in where they couldn't get out, and they set it on fire, and they burned them to death. Then they came back. They were so thankful that they had killed these Indians, but that was the first Thanksgiving, not what you read about in their books.
It wasn't until when President Lincoln decided, instead of having it every other day when they were going to different tribes killing them, that he decided to make it once a year, a day of Thanksgiving once a year.
True. But let me tell you about President Lincoln. Because Indians, the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota Indians, wouldn't give up. These are the people from Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, up in that area. Would not give up. They were fighting, and they captured in excess of 200 of them. And they wanted to hang them all. But Lincoln intervened because of politics, should I say politics. He said, no, I don't want you to hang them all. Pick 38 of them, and that's how they came up with the Mankato 38. That was the largest mass hanging ever in this country, this republic.
Okay, all right, so we're down to one more clip. And so, I mean, really, really, if you get down to it, really get into it, really get to the meat of it. Thanksgiving was celebrated not because of giving thanks for what you have. Thanksgiving was really celebrated to celebrate the defeat of the Native Americans in America. And it was a yearly celebration to celebrate the Europeans defeating the Native Americans. That was it. It was only until later that it was made into a holiday, commercialized, you know, the rest, blah, 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 yada, 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 you know. Yeah. So we're down to the last clip of the night. And this one just gives more, a little bit more information, a little bit more of the, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't know. So this is it. So I'll play this and be right back.
If you're thinking about celebrating Thanksgiving this year, here are a few facts that you probably did not know. We will be first discussing the definitions, the history, and where Thanksgiving really originates from so we can get a better understanding of why it's celebrated in America today. Now, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, Thanksgiving Day is, quote, a day appointed for giving thanks for divine goodness as the fourth Thursday in November observed as a legal holiday in the United States and the second Monday in October observed as a legal holiday in Canada. But according to the American Heritage Dictionary, Thanksgiving is defined as the fourth Thursday of November observed as a legal holiday in the United States to commemorate the feast held in 1621 by the Pilgrim colonists and members of the Wampanoag people, and marked by the expression of gratitude for harvest and health, as well as the second Monday of October, celebrated in Canada by the expression of gratitude for harvest and health. But what is the real truth about Thanksgiving, and why is it celebrated today? Although commonly taught in history books that the first Thanksgiving was observed as of 1621 when the Pilgrims first arrived at Plymouth, Massachusetts, and gathered with the Wampanoag Native Americans and Indians who were there in order to celebrate a fall harvest celebration, there is much to the story that is not told in the history textbooks. While today's tradition commonly teaches that Thanksgiving is all about giving thanks for friends and family and food and fun, the original celebration and commemoration had nothing to do with this definition whatsoever. In 1621, pilgrims had built crude huts in a common house on the shores of Plymouth Bay. Soon, neighboring Indians began to build relations with the Pilgrims. The Squanto, who are a local Indian who had been kidnapped and taken to England nearly a decade before, served as an interpreter with the local tribes. Squanto taught the Pilgrims to fertilize the soil with dried fish remains to produce a stellar corn crop. The Massasoit, who is the chief of the nearby Wampanoags, signed a treaty of alliance with the Pilgrims in the summer of 1621. In exchange for assistance with defense against the feared Narragansett tribe, the Massasoit supplemented the food supply of the Pilgrims for the first few years, and this is according to U.S. history. However, during this time, the Pilgrims also brought along their diseases and plagued the Native peoples and the Native Americans during that time, thereby commemorating the genocide of millions of Native Americans. Within 20 years after the arrival of the Pilgrims, many of the Native Americans had their land stolen, disease were plagued upon them, and were horribly killed. Indeed, and also in the 1620s, William Bradford, who was the governor of Plymouth at the time, has reported in his book, History of Plymouth Plantation, that the colonists went hungry for years because they refused to work in the field. They preferred instead to steal food. He says that the colony was riddled with corruption and with confusion and discontent. The crops were small because much was stolen both by night and day before it became scarce eatable. But even peace treaties did not keep the peace between the European settlers and the native peoples of America during that time, because John Winthrop, who became the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony during the time of the Pequot Wars of 1636 to 1638, in the year 1637, he made the decree and declared that a day of Thanksgiving, thanking God that they had eliminated over 700 men, women, and children, was then signed into law that, quote, "This day forth shall be a day of celebration and thanksgiving for subduing the Pequots." It was during the Pequot Wars of 1637 that the first official Thanksgiving became to be known in America and was subsequently celebrated for hundreds and hundreds of years. And also William B. Newell, who is a Penobscot Indian and former chairman of the Anthropology Department at the University of Connecticut, has even stated, quote, "Gathered in this place of meeting, they were attacked by mercenaries in English and Dutch. The Indians were ordered from the building, and as they came forth were shot down. The rest were burned alive in the building. The very next day, the governor declared a Thanksgiving Day," and the governor that this is talking about is John Winthrop, which is where you get the building blocks of Thanksgiving Day. But then it goes on to say, "For the next 100 years, every Thanksgiving Day ordained by a governor was in honor of the bloody victory, thanking God that the battle had been won by the European settlers and not by the native Indians." When you fast forward to the time after the Civil War, it was Abraham Lincoln who finally officiated Thanksgiving Day to become a national holiday in America on the fourth Thursday in November. And the origin of this day being chosen comes from the woman by the name of Sarah Hale, who's also commonly known as the Mother of Thanksgiving during the time of Abraham Lincoln. And she's also the author of the commonly known nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and she said, quote, "The last Thursday in November was suggested because then the agricultural labors of the year are generally completed, the elections are over, those autumnal diseases which usually prevail more or less at the South have ceased, and the summer wanderers are gathered to their home." So in short, Thanksgiving commemorates the murder and slaughter of millions of Native Americans, which is also why it's known as a national day of mourning for many Native Americans, known as the fourth Thursday in November. But what about all of the food that's commonly eaten on Thanksgiving? What about the origins of the food, and was this celebrate also known as something else in other traditions? For thousands of years, festivals for giving thanks have been taking place in many locations worldwide. In ancient Greece, when the underworld god Hades abducted the young maiden Persephone, her mother Demeter would not feed the world, and winter came upon the land. When Persephone was restored, an elated Demeter gave the gift of agriculture to mankind. The Greeks believed that because of her, the earth provided the bounty that it did. Honoring her with offsprings and ceremonies would promise a new and fresh harvest each year. The holiday dedicated to Demeter was called Thesmophoria. Demeter was also called Thesmophoros because she gave certain Thesmoi laws to mankind. The festival Thesmophoria was held in the fall during a month known as Paionopsian. It occurred between October and November, in the same months as the Canadian and United States Thanksgivings. The Thesmophoria were the most widespread festivals and the main expression of the cult of Demeter, aside from the Eleusinian mysteries. During this three-day festival, men were not allowed to celebrate or attend whatsoever. It was all women. And during the 3 days, this is what occurred. Day one was commonly known as Anodos, or the Ascent, in which women set up camp in order to honor Demeter, the god of agriculture in Greek mythology. And then day two was commonly known as the Fast, in which women mocked each other. And then day three was also known as Kallergynia, which is also known as Fair Offspring, and during this time was the torchlit ceremony. What about all of the cornucopias and the food that is commonly associated with Thanksgiving? Surely all of this has a pagan origin as well. Because what you may not have known about cornucopia is that it actually means the horn of plenty, but it is also commonly associated in Greek mythology because it's also known as the horn of Amaltea, which is the goat who suckled Zeus, also known as the horned cow goddess Isis, commonly known as Demeter in the Greek culture, or also known as Easter today. And so the cornucopia gives homage to the Greek goddess Demeter and represents horn of plenty as well as agriculture and harvest. In ancient Rome, corn represents Ceres, who is also known as the corn goddess of agriculture and crops. The turkey itself symbolizes Mother Earth and harvesting, along with rebirth, agriculture, and fertility. The pumpkin was a commonly used symbol to denote sun worship in ancient tradition, and you're probably wondering where the food stuffing originates from and why it's even called stuffing. Well, when the ancient Romans, what they would do is they would stuff animals inside one another and eat them all. So they would stuff chicken inside of a duck, and then the duck inside a goose, and then the goose inside a pig, and a pig inside a cow, and they would cook the whole thing all together, hence the word stuffing. We see overall, Thanksgiving pays homage to pagan deities, Greek, Roman, and even Celtic ones, and is very abominable indeed, because it's also deeply rooted and tied to Mabon, which is a Wiccan celebration during the fall equinox, which encourages pagans to reap what they sow, not to mention Lug Nasad, which is the first harvest of the Gaelic festival that honors Lug, which is a Celtic sun idol. We also know some of the abominable foods that are also associated with Thanksgiving, including but not limited to pork, Thanksgiving ham, and even sausage and stuffing, because the word of our Father in the book of Leviticus, or Baikra chapter 11, and Dabarima Deuteronomy chapter 14 tells us that these foods are abominable indeed. As well as Leviticus chapter 23 telling us the feast days that our Father tells us to celebrate, and Thanksgiving is not one of them, therefore making it a hella day indeed. And Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 10 tells us that we are not to learn the way of the heathen whatsoever. The next time you're thinking about celebrating Thanksgiving, you'll know all of the reasons why you should not celebrate this hella day whatsoever. And as always, please remember to seek Yahuwah and his true son Yahusha for even more truth. But this is Truth Unveiled here saying Shalom.
Okay. That's the last one. That is the end of the show. So I'll take this opportunity to, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, have fun, have a nice one, try to spend time with your family, which is, you know, important. Just be careful. The Rona is still out there. So, you know, watch how you do it. Have fun. Try not to get trampled at those Black Friday sales. And thank you for listening. And I will see you again in December for probably the last show of 2020. All right. See you. Peace.